Good evening. We will call to order the Aurora Planning Commission. It is April 2nd, 2024 at 7 p.m. Would the recorder please call the roll?
Chairman Joseph Schaefer.
Here.
Commissioner Bud Fawcett.
Here I am.
Commissioner Jonathan Gibson, not with us just yet. Commissioner Bill Carroll.
Here.
Commissioner Craig McNamara.
Here.
Commissioner Jim Stewart.
Here.
And Commissioner Tyler Masters.
Here.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. We'll see about Jonathan. Next is our consent agenda, where we have the minutes from last month. Any comments on the minutes? If none,
I move to accept the minutes.
One second.
So we have McNamara and Meskers. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Nobody's opposed. Oh, and here comes Jonathan Gibson. We started right on time, Jonathan. So you're 30 seconds behind schedule.
Oh, I couldn't.
So Jonathan is here as well. We just approved the minutes from last month. Did you have any questions about those?
No.
Okay. So next on the agenda is item four, our visitor section. We have several visitors tonight. As a result of an apparent misunderstanding, there was a land use application for apartment project on 99 and Peyton Circle that had been put on the agenda but was removed at the last minute, relatively speaking. And whenever something like that that's of interest to the public is on the agenda and that gets changed, we always open the floor to people who didn't get the memo and came to the meeting, which we have several tonight. So we will offer you now the floor to speak as you may wish, and ask that you begin by saying your name and address. And then again, you'll have an opportunity to submit written comments as well, which I understand has already happened. So, I will open the floor to you guys. And Judy, I don't know if you would like to speak tonight as well about this or anything that is not on the agenda.
I came specifically to address the proposed apartment building.
Okay, so we're gonna entertain all those folks as part of the visitors' comments. So someone wanna jump in, or?
I'll start. Do I stand?
Sure.
Mr. Chairman?
My name is Tom Griffith. I'm reside at 21190 Peyton Circle here in Aurora. And I did submit a letter and questioning the packet that the applicant turned in, raised some concerns, voiced opposition, but it's neither here nor there to speak to that directly right now. And I did receive notice that the meeting was not going to happen tonight, or the hearing. But I wanted to come anyway because it sounds like you're going to set the date for a later time. My one question would be, you mentioned opening it up to additional comments. Is that period opened up longer now, or?
I'm not sure about the actual application itself. Okay, but I wanted to make sure that you all had an opportunity, since you came, to speak during the visitor comment.
And I'm just one of the four residents that live on the addition of Peyton Circle.
Right.
And I just wanted to preemptively, before you read the packet, say that I do have some concerns, and then hopefully it's outlined in my comments section that was drafted up. So that's okay. All I really have to say.
Okay. Thank you. And just so you know, we don't have that information in our packets.
No.
So turned in. So anything that you'll get a chance to read it.
Okay. Hey, what else? Okay, go ahead.
Jennifer Sturm, 21180 Peyton Circle. I'm on the end. My big concern, I'm a mom, I've got two kids. It's my very first home, and having eight units or dwellings right there, it's a very small road. There's already literally no parking. There's fire lanes all down Peyton Circle. There's no parking in front of our homes. There's only one spot that doesn't have it written on the road as no parking in front of three houses down. So there's literally one spot on the entire road for parking. One. And there are four homes down there, and there's one spot for the entirety. Most homes nowadays have two people in it. And in America, we're not a walking place, we're a driving place. So you're going to have two cars per home. So now you're taking a street that has five homes and a business, one open parking spot, and you're going to add potentially up to 16 vehicles to that road. You've got kids that get off of the bus when you, two single family homes, great. That's more, it's continuity, it's more families. But when you're talking about eight, the reality of who's going to live there and what's going to go on, you see your property values go down. You see people coming and going all the time. I start to get nervous about the safety of my daughters hopping off their school bus on 99E and walking safely past Tom's by the neighbors that all watch for the girls, and into the house they go. It opens up so many questions. There's so much traffic on that little teeny tiny road. I know that there are laws to it that Tom's attorneys looked into that I'm not fully familiar with, but it feels like we're broaching on what's no longer even allowed on such a small street. I could go on and on about my nerves, but my property values make me nervous. The safety of my kids make me nervous. The traffic on the road, the upkeep of that little teeny tiny road, and the fact that are we going to put a sidewalk? Are they going to have to do a sidewalk in front? Like, there's so many things that it just doesn't feel. I would love to see the commercial zoning change to single family and we put two more houses on there and call it good and move on. There's just got to be some solution other than a full very first apartment building in Aurora right there on that very small spot with very little driving road and no parking anywhere. So
thank you. Anyone else?
Chairman, I'll go ahead and speak. My name is Megan Dilson, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself and my husband, Bruce Kingman, here. We are also worried about the addition of the apartment complex coming to Aurora. One thing that I am seeing is Aurora is a historically small town with a lot of historical homes along here, as well as single house dwellings. So my concern is, if we're opening up an apartment complex, what others are we hoping to add into the aesthetics of this town? And wondering how it will affect tourism. We have the South End Antique Mall at the end here, and most people like to walk along back down there. What I see happening is a lot of business being lost for that South Antique Mall due to traffic getting to the apartment complex and thinking their shopping is over. So I worry about our lovely town marketing, and I worry, again, going off of safety, and again, just overall, there's lack of parking. We also have, later on, I'm sure we'll talk at our next meeting about wastewater and where that's going and how it affects us as people paying for water in our area. So these are some things that we're concerned about. And then again, parking is such a huge issue. We really have no parking anywhere. And I worry that it is a fire safety and an EMT safety issue. So those are just some of my concerns. And I look forward to speaking at our next meeting that is going to be set.
Thank you. Anyone else?
My name is Jensi Lara. I live in 2123 Business Circle, so right, if the apartments were to be constructed, would be right behind them. Speaking of behalf, my family has experience with apartments, and with apartments come possibly a vandalism. And we do have valuable assets, like we have a boat, we have a trailer, also we have two dogs. So we also use part of the land for parking because we have so many cars, like a business truck, a company truck, three family or three personal cars, and wasn't that much prepared like the rest of my neighbors, but I would say that it's kind of an inconsiderate place to put apartments because when we first moved here, it was a small, quiet town. We came from Tigard, Oregon, you know, busy traffic, sirens, cars, and here's a small, quiet town. And doesn't really seem like such suited for an apartment complex because at that point, you have a little small town right there, four houses, apartments, a business, basically owns small business within the neighborhood. That's
okay.
A lot to say.
Thank you. Judy.
Yeah. Judith Kessler, 14872 Bob's Avenue. Unlike the other folks who spoke, I don't live directly next door. However, I am concerned about the nature of the services that are required as we begin to develop. I know that the storage units don't particularly use up a lot of water or other resources that apartments would, but it concerns me that development might affect the quality of Aurora. And I'm particularly concerned because our water bill is really super high, and I don't know what that has to do with availability. I know that there are wells. I know that there's something being considered to be built, but that's what my concern is, how if that's the direction, we're building more multi-use living premises, how that's going to affect the water situation.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all for coming and for your comments. Again, you know, this is not a public hearing, so we're not going to be responding or in any way other than to say we appreciate your interest and appreciate your coming. We normally don't get such a good turnout. And you're, of course, welcome to stay if you want to hear us talk about some boring planning stuff.
I hear you. Yes, Mr. Chairman, one more question. Will you be setting the next planning for the hearing date tonight?
Oh, would you like us to try and get that?
That was the request of the planner. Was to, okay. So we could go for either the 5th Tuesday of this month, the 30th.
Okay.
That 5th Tuesday, or bumping it to the first regular meeting in January, or in June.
In June.
So it'd be June 4th, just our regular cycle.
Okay, so I'll be recusing myself when it gets to the point of this application because I previously had an ownership interest in the property. And yes, I know it's changed hands a couple times since, but, you know, lest there be any appearance of impropriety or any some such, I'm not going to participate.
And I'm going to recuse myself because I'm next to the property.
Are you with the big white shed?
Yep.
Oh, you see.
Yeah, I'm jealous of it too. I don't know how the others feel about a special meeting.
I can't do the 30th because there's a litigation meeting that night.
So that means we wouldn't have a quorum then, probably, or would we?
We wouldn't have any
PAC meeting that night.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to leave it. If anything goes wrong, we don't want to reschedule again. If, you know, the other four who can participate, something comes up. It just seems an awful slim margin. And I frankly don't think we should exclude Bill because he's got a prior engagement the same night.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it would constitute a special meeting outside of the regular
session. Yeah, and if we had, you know, a full team.
Why not just do the regular meeting?
Somebody said that didn't work for them.
Either the applicant and or the planner cannot make it for the
okay.
For the main meeting. So it's blunt out, but it's kind of where we're going. So
the week before I'm in San Diego, so.
We're going to go with the June date.
Okay.
Reschedule.
Okay.
Cool.
So that would be June
4th.
Okay.
Same time.
Yes, all right.
Same place. And we'll have all the package materials queued up. It's a pretty large packet, at least a few hundred pages. So both the city's response, the applicant materials directly, and then anything that's been submitted from the neighbors. So.
I have a question. Is the next planning commission meeting on May 7th?
Correct.
Yeah, but they can't make
the April 30th comment?
About potentially having a special meeting.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And it would be the 7th of next month, if that was your question.
Yeah, so, all right, you're good?
So it's May 7th, the meeting's going to happen?
I thought it was June. They can't make
May 7th, our regular May meeting is going to happen.
But they can't make it.
This item will be on the agenda on June 4th.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for coming. No correspondence, new business or public hearings tonight. Old business, we have the airport land use update. As Bill just mentioned, on April 30th in the evening, usually
5 to 7,
is going to be the next meeting of the Public Advisory Committee. And the plan is for them to roll out Chapter 4 of the new master plan. Chapter 4 is titled Facility Requirements, where they review sort of all the information in the first three chapters and sort of translate into that, oh, we need more land for hangars. So sort of two sides, land side, air side. So land side is hangars and taxiways and kind of. And then the air side is the runway and, you know, runway electronics and lighting and sort of the taxiway immediately closest to the runway.
Does that include the run-up area?
Yes.
Okay.
So that would be all classified as airside and landside. They talk about what kind of planes they are experiencing at the airport and expect to see at the airport, and what kind of, you know, what kind of facilities they need. So, like, if you look at the last master plan, Chapter 4 talks about, well, it's got a list of planes and saying, well, they need this length of runway and, you know, and that wide of a taxiway and those sorts of site planning things. They don't actually select a plan. They just sort of select design, you know, facility requirements. Okay, this is what we need. That's what an architect calls, oh, geez, what's the word, slipping my, it's not functional, programming. An architect calls it programming. So, you know, you go to meet an architect to build your office building. He says, okay, well, what kind of companies do you want? What do you have in mind for retail? And then the design flows from that. So in this context, they say, well, what kind of planes are here? And how much vacancy is there if I wanted to rent a hangar and stuff like that? And translate that into Chapter 5, which is alternatives. If we design it this way, you know, it'll accommodate those planes. And if we design it that way, it'll accommodate those planes and, you know, those sorts of things in general terms. I wasn't sure if that was a grimace, Bill.
Oh, no, my nose was kind of it's allergy time for me.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm getting allergy hell right now. So.
Getting some of that myself.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Okay. So anyhow, and if you haven't participated in one of these, the meetings are on Zoom. They do request prior sign up, so you can watch that evening if you would like. Okay. Any questions about the PAC meeting number 4? And I don't know when they'll probably try and publish the chapter a week or so before the meeting.
They have a website. It might be already posted, actually. Come in 3 weeks before, so
okay.
I think it was posted, or be posted in a week or two.
Okay. It was posted.
I think it's posted. Okay. The other big thing that happened this week is, you know, I've had my own personal case in the Marion County Circuit Court regarding the TLM project and enforcement against that. And the judge threw me out on my backside on Friday. Invited me to refile if I wanted to file with regard to all the work that happened last summer. And so I've got three options right now. One is just to do nothing and move on. One is to refile that case in the circuit court. And one is to appeal the judge's decision to the Court of Appeals. And I frankly don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Wait a minute, which one was thrown out?
The enforcement case regarding the church camp property.
Okay.
The other thing going on regarding the church camp property, you'll recall, is they've submitted a new application for a heliport. And I haven't seen a hearing date posted for that yet. That'll be a hearing, there'll be two of them, at Marion County. One in front of the hearings officer, one in front of the Board of Commissioners.
Is it known what kind of heliport they're proposing?
They're talking about Life Flight and Columbia helicopters.
Oh, special area for them to come in and take off and land on.
Yeah, and then also it's very similar to the last design, you know, office and warehouse buildings. And then they're also having an area for, they call them VTOLs, drones of various, you know.
They're coming, yeah.
Yeah, I think you know, VTOL stands for vertical takeoff and landing. And
okay.
So, you know, I don't know where the line between a helicopter and a drone is drawn. But, you know, this is proposing to have both, as well as for electric vertical and takeoffs. So I don't know how most drones are powered. I guess little ones would be electric, but
most of the little ones, yeah, little ones are all electric. The only gas-powered drones I know are fixed wing.
Yeah, the bigger ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is vertical, so it won't be a fixed one. Yeah.
Whole new crop of them being developed. So.
Yeah, whatever it looks like today, it'll change.
Yeah.
All the applicants' materials are up on the county's website, or you could ask me and I could, you know, call me and I can lead you there if you have trouble finding it. If you just look at Marion County Land Use Hearings, Google should probably get you there. Any questions about that application?
Well, the basic question is, I mean, nothing's really changed in terms of their facility requirements, i.e. sewer, water, et cetera, from the first application, right?
Like the first application, they plan to basically, you know, cover the whole property with buildings and pavement, yes.
So they really haven't made any provision for...
Well, they're saying they've got three options, you know, and they are asking for have applied for a Goal 11 exception, which is something they refused to do last time, didn't do. So they're saying they have three options in the application as I read it. One is to use the septic system at Columbia Helicopters. One is to use the septic system at the South End Air Park. And then the third is to just put it into tanks and truck it offsite. Mm-hmm.
And how many is how they cut down the number of parking spaces, if I remember correctly, didn't they?
Yeah, they changed the original plan, showed 277, whereas the plan that got reversed by Luba was, I think, 480 some.
Yeah.
And
almost 500, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but with that many people, the question is, of course, whether this either of those septic systems could handle it.
Well, they've got the math in there from their engineer saying that, you know, that's manageable.
Okay. What about water? Can you truck that in?
That I can't tell you. It's probably buried in the application someplace that I haven't seen yet. I don't know if there's water rights on that property for a well or not.
You drink the water out of that or
church? No. I tried to once and people grabbed the cup out of my hand. Put a bottle. I said, get a bottle. I hadn't realized that they had those issues until that incident. I was like, oh, okay. So questions about that application? That's all my airport update news. Jonathan, was there a...
There was a PAN meeting, yeah. And that one subject that's getting more developed, more information on, and that's the impact of the closure relative to the runway update. Yeah, it seems like...
When they're repaving the runway?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been ongoing for several years already, I think, and it's going to continue some more. But the business owners at the airport are beginning to put some real numbers on the impact of that closure. It turns out the FAA has very special paving standards, as you might imagine, mm-hmm. given the stresses of airports and whatnot. And they are now saying it's likely they will do a double paving where they clear off, strip it, pave, and then they grind it. And then they pay one more, you know, to get the ultimate in smoothness.
Okay.
Along with structure and all that. So that goes from a 30-day process to a 60-day process.
Oh.
And so you've got all these businesses up there that have to close for 2 months, like Lifelight and all the manufacturers and all the various and sundry businesses have to close for 60 months. Or
dispersed to other locations.
Yeah, they literally have to close on what they're doing and move it somewhere for a couple of months and then come back.
They'll move.
And so they're estimating now that they're only beginning to estimate it, and it's getting up in the $10 million range in terms of economic impact.
Lost sales and such.
Yeah. So a lot more to be figured out on that, I'm sure. But they're realizing that they've got a pretty good problem on their hands. And it may be right now, the current schedule exists, they'll go out for bid in the fall and maybe ready to do the job in the summer of 25. That's the current schedule.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I imagine the economic impact will climb substantially when they understand how many people are going to be affected.
Especially in the summer.
Yeah.
When did you say it was in 2025?
Yeah. Hmm. And potentially being 60 days shut down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's tough.
It's a long time. Okay. Thank you for that. Any questions for Jonathan? Okay. Next on our agenda is item 8B, the Economic Opportunities Analysis Update. A couple weeks ago, we had our second technical advisory committee meeting. And as an outcome of that meeting, let me just tell you about the meeting. Or I don't know, have you guys read this? Just little summary that I wrote up. It's 2.5 pages.
I haven't seen that. I listened to the recording.
Okay. So I won't drag you all through it. The point is that, you know, we talked a lot about industrial uses for the area between the airport and the city and what kinds of uses might go there and go at the airport and so forth and so on. And Tyler, you were there, so Bill, you listened. So if I'm missing something you think is important, speak up. In terms of our available industrial land, it was noted that, you know, we've got this strip of gray down here west of 99, between 99 and the railroad tracks. It kind of tapers to a point, and that there aren't any large parcels. And when I say large, you know, 15, 20 acre parcels available in that area. And the area between the city and the airport is basically about 190 acres. And it is in large parcels, most of it. We talked a lot about making sure the uses are compatible. Bruce, you know, reminded us again that, you know, the airport does not want noise sensitive or residential uses, you know, in that area south of the airport. And I don't either. So that's why we're thinking industrial. We also talked about how fast Woodburn and Canby's industrial land is filling up. And we also talked about how our industrial land, if you want to build on it and get to the freeway, you got to go through the intersection at Liberty and 99, which obviously is a delay. We talked about water and sewer infrastructure, a little bit about the city's bond and the money from the legislature and how that's going. I I shouldn't assume. Are you guys familiar with the new reservoir going in? The city is doing a 1.2 million gallon reservoir up at the end of Cole Lane up here. And which is high ground, which is great. You know, we'll have, not only will we have a reservoir up high, so we get the gravity benefit, but we'll have a reservoir, one on each side of town. So it's good for pressurization and fire flow and all that good stuff. The next step, if you will, for the committee and the city as a whole, okay, is to sort of figure out what is our goal for economic development? What is our aspiration? We need to translate this into acres. Is the end product. It's also, as we've talked about at the TAG, there's characteristics of the acres. Industrial land, we've put a ceiling at 5% slope. Industrial land does not do well on steep ground.
like that over there.
Yeah, like west of 99, some of these places here. As you go further south, of course, it flattens out. You know, that land, not all of it, but a lot of it's relatively flat. Obviously, you've got the gully in there where the creek and the dams and the ponds, the old fish ponds are and so forth. Some of that land, as it heads up to the northwest, is not flat. And obviously some of the land right next to Eland Road is not flat, but most of it is flat and suitable for industrial development. We talked about different types of industrial and commercial development that require lots of water and sewer, which is always a concern. So Bruce Bennett, said the airport would appreciate having some supportive commercial uses like restaurants and hotels. Those consume lots of water and sewer service. So that is something to think about. Other industrial type uses that use a lot of water and sewer. You know, we had a proposal for a commercial laundry a few years ago. For any kind of food processing would consume, mass quantities.
Huge amount.
Some wet laboratories. I don't know if we have any biotech people knocking at the door, but medical. Like things of that nature, we might want to be cautious about for water and sewer capacity. So it, as I conclude in this memo, the key issue are whether to expand the city to include the airport and its surrounding developed land, and whether to include all of the 190 acres between the city and the airport in the expansion. And with direction on those issues from the city council, then we can complete the EOA. So my own view is that we don't have a larger map of the area, but my own view is that it's always more convenient when cities develop in sort of geographically uniform areas as opposed to a patchwork quilt. So, and Bill may recall, the folks at DLCD, when he and I went down there to meet them probably, 7-8 years ago now, said, don't try cherry stem, meaning just sort of annexing airport road and then the airport. Okay. Take some land between the city and the airport. And stay inside the box meaning between Eland Road on the south, Arndt Road on the north, Highway 551 on the west, and Airport Road on the east. So we're talking about staying in the box. And my own view is that if we take in the whole box, then we have a fairly uniform rectangle of the city, okay, which would be most efficient to serve. If we don't do the whole 190 acres, we're going to be essentially running, we've got water here, so we'll presumably be running water, you know, across some amounts of land without letting that land hook up. Some people ask, well, why don't you just go up Airport Road, which is certainly an option. The catch for that is then you're not serving any other industrial land. You know, it may be most convenient for like HTS and the people on the east side of the airport, in Columbia and so forth. But if you want to, it's flat, and I haven't talked to an engineer and tried to figure this out, but sewer, you always want to try and design your sewer so gravity flow. And so for that, the sewer would ideally be, you know, kind of in the middle, vis-a-vis east and west middle. Okay. The water, same thing. You want to send your trunk lines up the middle. It's just common sense. And of course, water will get looped all around for fire flows and so forth. But I think it would be most efficient to take in the whole block. Into the city. And I think the experience of Canby and Woodburn has shown that it's sort of economically and from the development point of view, feasible for that land to develop. I don't think it would just sit there idle forever and ever. Questions, comments, agreements? I would like us to have a consensus one way or the other. So we're going to take this same little issue paper or whatever you'd call it to the city council next week.
I'm good.
Okay.
So Mark.
Jonathan, how does it strike you?
Well, definitely have to have a well-considered plan, and you know, it's the airport is probably the biggest element in the plan, incorporating that. So that's been talked about now for as long as I can remember. So it'd be good to see it go forward.
And do you agree that we should take all the land in the box, so to speak?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. And just as a reminder, the airport, sort of writ large, is about 300 acres. Who haven't we heard from? Bill?
I would just do the land south of Kyle Road.
And leave the airport out?
No, do it in steps. You're not going to get any grief if you stay south of Kyle Road. Then you'll have a big thing sitting up there, and then you can go to the next step.
Okay, and you think the grief will come from the airport itself or other folks?
There's no doubt about that. Right? So if you do it in two passes, at least you'll be there in a long strip along it before you get into that.
Okay.
What would the timeline be on a two-step? Is it?
I'm just talking about how you...
Another decade? But like,
can't say anything, right? At least you'll have facilities there. You'll have stuff there when the argument begins.
It'll be
more there.
It'll be a step and not a leap.
Correct. And you won't get any grief from people south of Kyle Road, except for maybe one. I can't tell.
Oh no!
But when you have all the facilities sitting right next to the road, then you can take the next step easier. That's my opinion.
Right. No, there's a certain logic to it. Mm-hmm. Walk before you try to run.
How big of an area is that?
It's about 190 acres.
That's 190.
Yeah.
And then the airport is 300 above that, so it's about 500. The box is 5.
Well,
is that
the area of the box that's not already in the city is about 5, and so if you add, you know, if you add what's already in the city, it probably gets you to, let's see, I'm going to say that's 25 or 30 acres. that's already in the city. So add another 25 or 30.
You also get through the EFU part of it just on its own before you get into the bigger argument, because most of the land in the EFU is on the south side of Kyle River.
Yeah.
There's going to be an argument about EFU, then you can just do that phase and then do the next.
Okay.
Let's see that.
How many acres does the state own?
All kinds of people.
Yep.
The state owns about 144, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's 144. Is that right? Sound right to you, Bill?
It does. That number sounds correct, but I'm not 100% sure. But it does sound right.
It's in the ballpark.
Okay.
So it's not in the ballpark. It's closer than in the ballpark.
A lot of it's the west side of the runway, between the runway and the fence.
Right. Okay. So that's 144. The kind of rectangle below it is 190, and that leaves about 150 for the kind of currently developed.
The private side of the airport.
Well, I'm just throwing out a thought, mm-hmm. You know, that's not
it. Yeah, right. No, it's perfectly logical. Perfectly logical.
It certainly seems like there is more appropriate land up there for commercial or industrial development.
Yes.
Than the other side of town.
Yes, the other side of town is, Highway 99E sort of tapers to get closer to the railroad.
Right.
We have the east side of 99 slated for future residential with those killer views.
Yeah.
I have not heard anyone say we should make this industrial and move the residential somewhere else. We have heard a lot of people say, you know, when can we get this developed and is this enough? And the rules for expanding your UGB are very different for commercial and industrial as compared to residential. So in commercial and industrial, you can go big. So when Scappoose did it to expand their UGB to take in the airport, which is also a little ways outside, they had sort of 190 acres between the city and the airport. They had, I want to say it's 268, maybe it was 368. Anyhow, significantly more land between their city and the airport that they, you know, brought it all in at the same time, largely for commercial. When you want to expand your city for residential, they look at the population projections, and not your population projections, but it used to be different ones, but now they just stuck with PSU. Portland State has a population research center that has been very well respected for many years. So I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago where they sort of, in the land use system, sort of changed the rule and just said, everybody use those numbers. So nobody has to go out and, you know, figure out their own. And but the point is, you can't say, okay, well, we just decided we're going to become a big town now. So even though we're now about 1140, 1150 people, I think.
You're talking about the residential area there. We're hurting for residential right now, right? In terms of ability to develop, like we just heard tonight. So, you know, I don't, taking that off of the residential.
We wouldn't be allowed to do it.
I wouldn't want to do it anyway.
And the point I was trying to make is that I don't think we could go, if we went to the state and said we want more, I don't think we'd qualify.
Mm-hmm. They don't see us turning into a 5,000 population. So
you can't just go for it like that, yeah. in the way that you are allowed to do aspirationally for commercial industrial.
Scappoose also had a Betsy Johnson who wanted that education center at their airport badly and made things happen.
Yes.
We do not have a Betsy Johnson.
Other comments?
I thought during that meeting, it was a neat comment about keeping Aurora quaint and keeping the style on this side of the railroad the way it is. And if there is any development growth, commercial and industrial, to put it more towards the railroad because of access to I-5 and the opportunity the airport then has.
Yeah.
A choke point crossing the railroad. And so I thought that was an important, important comment.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it's much better for freeway access and you know, less. Of course, it's going to bring, you know, more activity to town. You know, the workers here will be coming in to lunch and so forth and so on. Most of the folks, you know, probably are you know, it's going to be, it's fairly isolated. It's just the nature of our town, like many towns built adjacent to a railroad and with all our topography. You know, you look at the map and you just don't see the topography, but you guys have been around a while. You know how steep this land is. You know, there will be, with this floodplain, you know, this Mill Creek floodplain is not shown on this map, but, you know, it covers a big area. And then this is all pretty sloped land, fine for residential, but not for commercial or industrial in the distant future, but that's
because we don't care if people get flooded out of their
homes. Parcels are also much larger up there down here than you've mentioned before, but you're not dealing with small acres of 2, 3, 4 acres. You're dealing with 15-acre block or 10-acre block, which is more opportunity for a developer. They probably look at that more favorably than they would at a smaller piece of land, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And especially, you know, the advantage of going with the bigger developers is it's just more efficient. You know, if you go around most other places in the West, you know, they kind of snicker at the way we do it, because here in the Willamette Valley, you know, the land was chopped up so more because it was such great land. You look at how Phoenix or Palm Springs, you know, they develop a square mile at a time, Las Vegas, because they've got in case you didn't know, the whole country is chopped up into square miles. That's the original way the government did the surveys. And out there in the desert, okay, no one ever did anything with the land, you know, so it's all just sitting there. And so the way they've set up their planning is like, okay, we're going to do this a square mile at a time, which is 640 acres, which is, you know, in South Hillsboro, we're doing 1,200 acres, and it's by far the biggest project ever in Oregon history. A lot of that, the first part of it is in larger acreage where three developers did it. You may know I was really involved with it. And when you have that kind of scale, then you have the ability for the developers to provide the infrastructure efficiently. If you try and do things on a small scale, then nobody has enough money, frankly, to really do a substantial water, sewer, street, you know, fill in the blank.
Oh, well, Willamette Valley was all homestead, so 160 acres a pop.
Yeah.
Everything was chopped up into a little quarter square mile parcels. So.
And then it went from there. So it makes it harder to develop, and we have a good opportunity up here with a small number of landowners, and even like, you know, these three are owned by the same person, these two are owned by the same person, the next three up there are owned by the same family, and over on the east side along Airport Road, the gentleman owns a couple of the smaller lots. So there's even fewer owners than lots, I guess is what I'm saying when you look at the map. Okay. You're liking it, bud?
Is there any knowledge of development happening on top of the hill on the left side of the road going towards Canby, where they're pulling all the trees out and knocking down buildings?
Not to my knowledge.
Just wondering.
Yeah, they took a bunch of trees out, but I don't know. That's all they've done.
Yeah.
They were pulling a lot of stuff out. It would be a great place for an apartment. In Clackamas County. Parking up there.
Okay.
What was the original question we were asking?
I forgot already.
For the EOA?
I mean, we just had a long discussion, but I can't remember what the original question
Okay.
is.
So the original question is, I'll read it off. The key issues for the city council are whether to expand the city to include the airport and its surrounding developed lands, and whether to include all the 190-acre area in the expansion. So what I'm seeing is six people saying go for all of it, and one person who's causing some more than just causing some second thoughts, but one person says skip the airport, just do the 190.
We'll do it in phases. Start with us. Start with 190 acres
and then do the. Would that require a new EOA and a bunch of other stuff?
Well, I would say if we wanted to do that, my recommendation would be do the EOA for the whole thing. Okay. And then maybe do the UGB for the whole thing or not. But don't, you know, don't push for annexation and don't plan your in, don't like design and engineer your infrastructure just yet.
But leave it open.
Because what happens in situations like that is the developers up at the airport are gonna say, well, we don't want to pay to bring the sewer from Aurora all the way across all this land up to the airport. That's not, we don't know. Okay. So let all this 190 acres develop and let them bring the water and sewer to our fence line.
Then they're going to be a little more amenable on the north side.
Yeah, that's a conventional. I'm not sure I'd say they'd be more amenable, but that's sort of the conventional.
I can dream, Janet.
It might reduce the cost for it, but who knows?
Yeah.
Over time.
Yeah. It depends, you know, it depends obviously on how that develops. But no developer, we're in a dispute with the city that shall remain nameless right now. But no developer wants to extend streets and water and sewer across a long distance of vacant land to serve their development.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a waste of funds.
It's hard to get paid back when the land in between develops and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So it's.
Makes more sense to do contiguous.
Yeah. Yeah. Comment, Bill?
I'm just talking. I'm just throwing down words. Nothing.
Well, we're listening. We're listening.
I like Bill's idea.
I mean, this is going to happen in phases. Okay, yeah. The EOA is the EOA could be done in phases, but it's not necessary to do it in phases. Because it's a, you know, it's a 20-year big picture look. It's not a practical, okay, how are we going to get a pipe or a street from point A to point B? It's just not that sort of nitty gritty.
But you could do the EOA in part A and part B so that you could see, okay, this is this part, this is this part.
Yes. Yes.
So that it's clearly delineated in people's understanding, okay, this is what this has to offer, this is what this has to offer.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yes. And I haven't heard anyone suggest that we need to convert the airport and its surrounding private lands to sort of general industrial or anything other than what it is now. So, yes, and I'll make sure that point of view is.
Well, it makes the most logical sense to anything adjacent to the airport or should be considered for industrial.
Okay. Okay.
Logical expansion from the airport out like that way. But, yeah.
But it's a matter of scaling services, you know, and the larger the service area becomes, it has the chance of being more efficient.
Yes.
But,
yeah. So you run into this dynamic where the airport could say, well, we don't want to come in now, but someone would say, well, but you have to build your facilities with capacity to do that. And that gets tricky because if I'm, you know, if I'm here and I'm being told, well, I have to spend more money so the airport can hook up 15 years from now, you know, that gets a little tough.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's interesting. One of the proposed uses of this church campus is going to be some of the newer modes of transportation. So a few years could show considerable change there, you know.
Yes, the new director of the Department of Aviation is a drone guy. I mean, he has been in the business. I can't give you the details. But he's behind it 100%. They're talking about lots of uses, one of which, not necessarily here, but I know he was talking about it, I think it was Oak Ridge, which is a small town in the hills east of Eugene, getting them set up with drones for fire watching and so on and so on, fire spotting and that sort of thing. So...
could prevent another disaster.
You know, drones have been coming on for a long time. I have a stepsister who works on drones, has for a long time. But now they're obviously getting mainstream. I mean, in all sorts of common applications. Certainly in
about drones.
The real estate and land development business, very common now. It used to be, okay, let's look at the aerials. And now somebody... No, here's a 30-second drone video. They just fly the drone around the site. But at least the way the, you know, the site plan is laid out, it's mostly light flight in Columbia.
I thought there was a law against having drones next to a commercial airspace.
A law, you have to be licensed. You have to work through the town.
As long as you,
can't just fly it freely, you have to have a license and work through.
Yeah, I understand the license part, but I thought there was a, just like we have a height restriction in Aurora, controls a restriction against drones next to an airport.
As long as you're, not as long if, as you're coordinating,
not if you're coordinating with the tower,
yeah. You don't crash into a plane, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm not aware of the details how that's managed.
I mean, I don't think as a private drone operator with a license, you can fly a drone over the airport of Aurora.
No, you have to, not unless you had a channel into the tower and you were received a go ahead.
Get the check on the survey. What brings up something I saw the other day?
Yeah. Check on the tower.
Somebody was operating.
The tower's actually operating.
Okay.
So is it? Permissible to use drones
in public space? They had to apply, and there's a whole process.
Within the city limits?
That's weird.
Good question.
I don't know. I don't think we have a rule on it.
I'd be surprised if we do, but...
what was the question?
Use of a drone, like in the city park. You know, if they are, you know, you have to have a license and all that anyway, but... Does it extend to public space or is it mostly for private space?
Isn't there like a 5-mile distance from the airport to where you're supposed to check in with the tower to fly a drone? I think there's a distance. FAA, there's a regulation for
that. That may be
2 miles, whatever it is. Right, you need approval.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't even get the drone off the ground.
Right.
But that's a drone that...
How far away is like the city park from the city or from the airport? Is that...
Oh, so it's control flies?
Two and a half, 2 miles.
Yeah, okay. So either 2 or 5 miles from the airport is when you need to check in with the tower.
I've only seen one plane fly over the park going to the airport.
We did find a drone crashed in our field not too long ago. So whatever that's worth, maybe somebody tried.
10.
Just a small.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's kind of, I don't think PDX would like to have drones flying around. No matter what people say, you gotta have a permit. Oh, you gotta get clearance. No, it's not allowed. They don't allow drones over PDX. There's no way.
We're not sure yet.
Only if you stores that haul off plants.
There's too much traffic there to allow drugs. That would be, I don't know. Call me crazy.
Okay. Anything else on this topic?
No.
Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none?
We're going to be updating that a couple of pager, 2-3 pager for next week's council. Or just send as it is.
Bill, do you want to come to the meeting next week and talk, or should I just add a sentence or two?
Maybe, yeah. 15 seconds. Next week's the burn.
I should probably add a sentence or two regardless.
Oh,
yeah.
I would love to, but my daughter's flying in that night for a week, so I'm
nice.
Picking her up at the airport.
Nice.
But otherwise, the answer would have been yes. Priority.
Yeah, so I'll write up a couple sentences.
Sure.
You, should be phased in two or more phases.
That's two. Two
or two phases.
Logical one. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it just makes things more palatable.
Yeah, it's going to be unpalatable anyway.
Well, I mean, but at least it's, I mean, divide and conquer, right? Do
right.
Right. It's easier.
Okay. Phase one is South Kyle.
Can we get a map that shows all of these areas?
Yes, we can.
That would be nice because you're Blue Earth. I'm a little slow, a bit of a newbie here, so not sure about some of these.
Okay. Have you had an airport tour yet?
Me? No.
Yeah. Okay, well, next time they do one for public officials, you have to go on it.
Yeah, I'd like to.
So, just to clarify, Bill, so explain, and the EOA would not stop at Kyle Road. The EOA would it would include the whole 500 acres, but it would
but I'm asking
explain
for,
that.
I would ask for it to be in part. Part A and Part B, like this
right.
box and this box.
Yeah, so we have a near term and a longer term.
Right. Okay. Phase one, phase two. Yeah. But that way you don't have to try and guess at what parts what in each box. If the EOA is divided that way, you can see the opportunities for this box and that box.
Okay. So aviation in the north box and industrial in the south box?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, everyone. We'll adjourn at 8:02 p.m.